to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is the lockdown edition. So my name's Andrew, and with me, as always, is Corlin.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
12 feet to Corlin's right.
Yes. So if you're wondering why you can't see us, because we couldn't fit all of us in the camera, and we are socially distanced. We all have our own tables. We actually have two round tables now, so we're not liars.
The Round Tables Podcast.
Yeah, this is, yeah, we are the Knights of the Round
Tables.
But anyways, we are socially distanced, and the reason we're not filming is literally we could not all fit inside the camera view. So we still wanted to record, though, and so here we are. Today, actually, I should say, if you are a new listener, maybe you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or Google, this is a podcast where every week we try and talk about an aspect of theology or the Bible or you know, a theme running throughout the Bible or things like that. I think this is episode
30. Yeah.
Guys, it's our anniversary. you know how they do, like, oh, this is our paper anniversary and tin, and you know that?
Yeah.
Tradition? What's 30? Someone should look that up. Is 30 gold? We all owe each other a gold ring or whatever. Anyways. So today we want to talk about the topic of hearing God's voice. I think Corlin was the one that kind of threw that idea out to us, saying, you know,
Pearl anniversary.
Oh, it's Pearl. Oh, boy. happy Pearl anniversary, guys. oof. But the idea, okay, so biblically, how does God speak to his people? And is it different from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Today, does God still speak to his people today? What does it mean to hear God's voice? So maybe to start for an interesting, you know, because you have a whole bunch of views on this, and I think this morning we'll present, I think we're all in agreement, and we'll probably present our view of this is what we think the Bible says about God's voice, but you hear lots of different ideas of, you know, God speaks audibly. You can literally, you know how you're hearing my voice now, you can literally hear God's voice like that, talking, hey, Andrew, how's it going? Or whatever. That's a terrible God voice.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, what's up? Yeah, he's like a New York accent.
Speaks in Hebrew and you're just confused.
Yeah. Elohim. What? I can't understand. Or there's people that say, you know, God just kind of impresses thoughts, right? And certain thoughts that come to mind. Oh, those aren't your thoughts. Those are God's thoughts. Or some people say, no, God doesn't speak at all today. So we're going to kind of dive into that. But to start, maybe have either of you heard God's voice audibly?
Cameron.
I haven't. I've not had that experience. Although I can think of several times. And for me, God speaking to me has actually come, well, at first, more in the through the lens of like conviction. Like I remember sitting in my car at a point in time where I just felt like, "Man, you're really messing up." But it wasn't like a. During that season, a lot of my thoughts and feelings were like condemnation, like, "Man, you're such a failure." But then, I do remember this time where it was like, "Man, you got to get right," and it felt like actual peaceful. And I look back on that thought and feeling as being like, man, that was the Holy Spirit actually like nudging me and like, yeah, giving me this peace. And the thoughts that I was thinking at that time were different. I do believe they were my thoughts, but I do believe they were of the Holy Spirit, because it was just a different narrative than I had been thinking myself, going from guilt and shame to actually Holy Spirit, what the Bible describes as Holy Spirit conviction, pointing you back to the cross. So I feel like that is my first, you know, hearing God. And then, and we'll get into it, but I think more recently it's actually having either, it's having peace by either reading scripture or like having an idea or a motivation to do something that feels peaceful, feels right, feels good, aligns with Scripture. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like how I hear from God now.
Yep.
And we'll get into like all the problems around, you know, waiting forever and you know, waiting to hear from God and not doing anything or maybe not even reading your Bible.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have one without the other.
What about you, Corland?
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with this because like if you've heard me share my testimony, especially within the last couple of years, guaranteed that there's going to have been a part in it where I said pretty much these words exactly every time. I didn't hear God's voice audibly, but it's the closest I've ever been to hearing his voice.
Sure.
And that was when, so I was walking in sin, incredibly sinful lifestyle, not following God at all. And I remember there was one day where I was at work and I went to look out a window cause I was kind of reflecting on life a little bit. Just thinking about where I'd been, where I was going. And I walked up to the window and the best way I can describe it is like what I just said. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it's the closest thing that there could be without it actually being there. And I remember God just saying to me, like, what are you doing? I love you. Now, I didn't hear it audibly,
sure,
but I knew that it wasn't from me because with where I was at in my life, there was no way I would have thought what I was thinking because I was trying to run so hard to sin that the idea of suddenly just snapping out of it and having a random thought to myself that was like, oh yeah, what am I doing? I shouldn't be doing, like, no, I was too enveloped in it. So I know that it was from God and I mean, judging as though it turned my heart to repentance and turned my heart back to him, that's proof that it was God.
Mm-hmm.
But on conversations like this, it always brings up interesting language because Christians will use, oh, I feel like it was from God, or I feel this, I feel that. And you'll also hear Christians say you can't trust your feelings. But that's where it's really important with stuff like this to make sure you're actually testing the Spirit and making sure that it is God and making sure it lines up biblically with God's will and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I've never audibly heard God's voice, and I actually think that's okay. I'm not convinced biblically that we're supposed to. But I have had similar types of things as you guys a couple times in my life where it was clearly the Holy Spirit convicting me and impressing on me a thought or an idea or something like that. So I can remember years ago leading a communion type thing. And this is when I was still addicted to pornography. And very secret, no one else knew, but leading this communion thing and telling people, you know, if you've got sin in your life, make sure you repent and then come take communion. And I remember I sat down and it was like a huge weight all of a sudden. And it was, you know, the Holy Spirit brought to mind, are you going to do what you just said everyone else to do? And I went, oh man, like totally convicted. Like I'm telling all these people like, hey, you should don't take communion if you've got sin in your life. And here I was. And so that was a huge moment. So I actually obeyed, and that was a kind of a turning point in my journey with that, where I didn't take communion and confessed and blah 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 blah. So that was an instant where that was the Holy Spirit. And then the other time, and I've shared before, when I was dealing with prideful things and throwing up on a Sunday, right? And I go home, and you know, God impressed this thought upon me that like I don't even need you, Andrew, to like do this. I can do it on my own. I don't need you. So it was like, oh man. So those are a few examples, but I would say, and maybe we'll get into this later. Primarily God speaks to me through his word, which I think is how it should be. So, let's go to the Old Testament then. And what are ways, do we have examples in the Old Testament or instances where we see like maybe this is a wrong way to put it. How did God speak to his people in the Old Testament? Because I'll throw out what I think many people believe, that everyone was just kind of walking around in the Bible times and God was just audibly being like, hey,
Kevin,
Josiah, what's up? How's it going? And you could just audibly hear God's voice. And because then what's taught today lots is like you just got to kind of tap into it. And yeah, I've heard lots of analogies. you know, get the radio frequency right.
It's like you're one of those old telephone station operators where you're like plugging yeah, flip the cords the switch, into the right thing.
And put the rabbit ears on your TV there. And literally, I've heard those types of analogies. Like if you just tune it in a little bit, then you can hear God's voice. So is that the case, or what are ways that God spoke to his people in the Old Testament?
I think some of that is the foundation of that thought pattern is when we read of the creation account and we read of God being in communion with Adam and Eve, and when we see exchanges. But there's even points in that narrative where we see that God isn't like walking alongside the entire time. Like there's times where God is not, and I do air quotes, present in a situation, although he's present everywhere. So that's quite interesting too, because it kind of breaks down that idea of it's just a constant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we go on and we see these really miraculous, like, burning bush experiences with God audibly talking. But there are only a couple of those.
Yeah.
And then, but we have this series of prophets, and, like, if that was happening all the time, we would, I feel like Samuel would lay that out in the text, you know, like, this is where I was, this is how it happened. And so, I think, yeah, you're right, there's this common idea that it's just this ongoing dialogue throughout scripture where mm-hmm. I think we see the opposite, where thus says the Lord, I hear from the Lord, referencing text, referencing history, referencing oral tradition. Like, this is what the Lord is saying to us mm-hmm. and has been saying for the last few hundred years.
Yeah.
When the prophets are talking about hearing from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, really, really, really early on in the Bible, Genesis 1:3, we see, at least in our Bibles, it says, and God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. To me, that would infer that he's speaking. I don't know. Do you guys think that he was actually, like, verbalizing, let there be light? Or do you think that it was just...
Yeah, I think he spoke. Yeah. I don't think it was just like he thought, let there be light. I think he actually spoke those words. And then, yeah, like you see with Adam and Eve, right? He comes and he talks to them after they sin. And so there's this kind of, we just kind of take it at face value. Yep, God came and he spoke to them, right?
Yeah.
And sorry, I totally jumped in.
No, that's okay.
And then you see God speaking to Abraham, right? God comes to Abraham, and a few times it's in a dream. And other times he appears, you know, if I think about it, I think it's Genesis 18. You know, God and two angels appear by the oaks of Mamre or whatever it's called. And God, Abraham cooks for them, right? You remember that story? And then God tells them, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So there's an instance where you go, the theological word would be like a theophany, where God visibly manifests himself. So I don't know what that looked like. Oftentimes, he looks like a person. He just kind of manifests as, because that's what it says. It's three men came, but it was God. Okay, well, that's weird. And then God speaks to Moses. You referenced that in the burning bush. That was actually the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. The pre-incarnate Jesus, but speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. I always laughed at the Jim Gaffigan joke when he goes home and tells his wife, God spoke to me out of a burning bush. And she's like, I think you've been burning some bush. But, and then we see this really interesting relationship with Moses, where it says that he spoke with God. And they use the phrase face to face, like you would speak to a friend. Now, whether that's, because there's other verses that say no one can see God's face and live. So whether it's a phrase to say, yeah, he spoke face to face, like as an expression to say, like, he talked and God talked back. Like, they just have this friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think God primarily spoke and in the Old Testament through his prophets. Moses was called the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see all throughout Samuel, Nathan, all these prophets would come to the king and say, you know, this is what God is saying. So the prophets were like God's mouthpieces. So again, I think, and you brought it up, Cam, I think it's really good to, when we read the Old Testament, you have to ask, okay, is this just describing what happened, or is this prescribing what should always happen? Mm-hmm. Right? Should I be expecting a burning bush experience because Moses did? So no, it's describing what happened, right? And I like that you said, Cam, that we, when you read the Old Testament, there's actually a handful of people mm-hmm. that God appeared to or spoke audibly to. The rest is, you know, so Jeremiah comes to me and says, "Thus says the Lord." Okay, so Jeremiah is the spokesman for God. I think we have this idea that just everybody was, well, it's just not true. There were select individuals, Moses, Abraham, you know, David, all of these types of people that God spoke to, and then God spoke through his prophets. What were you going to say, Corlin?
I'm just curious with you saying that. Do you think that, like, it was only those select few that we have recorded in the Bible, or do you think that God still spoke to his people outside of the prophets, but, like, if there was, I don't know how to put it, like a maybe this is a really poor way of putting it, but like a big announcement, so to speak, then God would use a prophet? Or do you think that God still would speak to his people?
Well, here's an interesting verse. So if you remember in the desert when they're at Mount Sinai and God's going to meet with his people, and it says, when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." And so the people stood far off, and Moses draws near to the thick darkness where God was. So there's an instance where God is, I can't even imagine what that looks like. Mm-hmm. His presence and thunder and lightning and trumpets and the people go, like, we can't even handle mm-hmm. that. Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen to you, because we just, like, our minds can't handle it. And then Moses goes up the mountain, and he's the, what's that word? He's the
mediator.
Mediator. There you go. Yeah, for the people, because he comes back down and says, here's what God said, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think mm-hmm. we would look at the people and go, oh, they just didn't have enough faith to. No, they were overwhelmed with the presence of God, and they mm-hmm. went, I can't even handle this. Moses, you go talk to God and then come back and tell us what he says. So I think primarily I would say not the only way, but the primary way that God spoke to his people in the Old Testament is through the prophets, right? Now, that's not to say that God didn't speak to people. I can't think of lots of recorded stories where God just showed up to, and mm-hmm. I'm using air quotes, mm-hmm. ordinary people, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Not the prophets, where God just kind of, oh, I'm speaking to Beth over here and Johnny and Bill. I don't see stories like that. It's usually, even think of King David when he sins with Bathsheba. We're told that God,
Nathan, is the one
God that doesn't come to him and go, boom, Nathan. He sends Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet, I love that story. He uses this example, and then David's like, that guy should die. Nathan goes, that's you, bro. That's my paraphrase. Right. Yeah. But even that, right? God sends a prophet to confront David. He just doesn't, boom, audible voice. So I think that's okay, right? I think we have this idea that, like, oh, if it comes from somebody else, like, oh, that's not intimate enough. It's got to be just me and God. And and that's primarily not what happened. It was men and occasionally women prophets, right? Like Deborah and Miriam's called a prophet, who God raises up to speak on his behalf. So here's and you said this before we started recording, Cameron, even for the prophets, like, and maybe we don't know for sure, but I'm not convinced that it was kind of like, right, you said they go into their hut and, you know, and then all of a sudden an audible voice goes like, Jeremiah, write this down. Right. Like, so I don't know.
I think, you know, when, and one of the best courses I took, in my program is just biblical interpretation, and especially of the Old Testament. And I remember the professor just hammering home, like, these were people, like, the Bible was written by broken people in many ways. And, and even to push against that, sometimes it wasn't even written by the person to which the chapter's named after.
Oh man, it's so good. Yeah, it's true.
And sometimes they may have already been passed away.
Yeah.
Let that blow your mind for a little bit. But when I think of, a prophet, or I think, and when it's scribed, like, I envision these are individuals who are prayerful. They you know, are, oh, it's hard to use any of the catchphrase lingos, but just people who are
model Christians.
Walking in intimacy.
All of these silly things that have been so ruined. But it causes me to think, too, because, like, the Holy Spirit was sent after Jesus, and we'll get into that. But before that, that there is that interaction. Like, there is that, what happens in that individual's heart or mind that then mm-hmm. causes them to be aware of the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that prophets sometimes came with new revelation, but most often came with reminders
yes.
of
yeah.
covenants and reminders to the people. And so they were almost like this virtuous nag in a way, like, guys, remember, remember what we agreed to, remember our role in this exchange in the relationship. So they didn't, there could be seasons where they weren't hearing from the Lord, but still knew their mission in life. And maybe it was one time where they heard from the Lord, like, listen, it's really important that we remind Israel
mm-hmm.
of the covenant and what can happen, and that I love them. And so that could carry a person on for years, knowing that they heard from the Lord that it's important that
yeah.
I remind Israel of God's promise, yeah. both good and bad.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they were in constant dialogue with God, because just by the nature of the scriptures, they would have really recorded it,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't. Not to say it didn't happen, but it didn't happen as frequently as we are led to believe.
Yeah.
And then it gets into our conversation that we had before of Jesus being kind of that last prophet. And are there prophets today? We had that conversation
mm-hmm.
a few months ago, because that's when the transition happened. And it's really, and I don't know if we want to get there yet to the transition, but how God speaks today is different. And we don't have prophets today, despite yeah. what you might see on the cover of a book.
yeah.
Do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah. yeah. Corlin, anything to say? I will say, though, even early on, the Hebrew scriptures, what we have as our Old Testament, they were also seen as authoritative, and these are God's words. Like, no one, I listened to a really interesting podcast about how we got our Bible. It was like a 2-hour lecture about how we got it. And early on, even before Jesus's day, these scrolls were just assumed. There was no debate in Israel. Is that actually God's word?
Right.
Is that actually what God said? There was zero debate about that. The debate was, how do we interpret it? Right. And that's why you have different rabbinic schools who said, I think it means that. But no one questioned, you know, the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. No one said, yeah, that's not God's word. They still said, that's God who spoke to us. So think about that as well. We say, you know, we're lucky we have our Bibles now, all 66 books. Well, the Israelites had, again, air quotes, their Bible, their Old Testament, mm-hmm. and that was authoritative for them as well.
And 5 books, right, generally?
Well, yeah, it was split into kind of 3 sections, right? The law, which mm-hmm. is their 5 books. Then they had the prophets, which included the history. So, for instance, our 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they included mm-hmm. that in the prophets. And then they had the writings, which were Psalms, mm-hmm. Proverbs, those kind of things. So kind of 3 sections. And that was all viewed as, yeah, that's authority. That's God speaking to us. So, again, think about that. It wasn't that the Israelites were like, yeah, the Bible's good, but God, download what you want from me. No, they just they looked at their scriptures, and when they would meet together, they would read the scriptures. Here's mm-hmm. the scroll of Isaiah. This is the word of the Lord, and they would put it back. So, for even them, the written word of God was the authority,
final authority.
Yeah, yeah. By and large, yeah. Or a prophet who would say, you know, so Nahum stands up and says, "Thus says the Lord." But even that, they had very stringent tests for prophets,
sure. like, and consequences if they
huge
were false prophets.
Consequences. So if Nahum stood up and said Nineveh's gonna fall and it never happened, well, we're gonna kill you then, because you mm-hmm. were wrong, you were a false prophet. And then you think about all the warnings in the Old Testament too about don't seek signs, don't seek omens, over and over and over. And I pulled up a few. There's in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, even in Mark, Jesus says, because false messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to deceive. So even the Israelites were like, God would say, don't wake up and go, oh, a red bird flew by me. That's an omen. He says, don't look for signs that bid, ooh, doom or blessing. He said, don't do that, right? So there were all of these. It wasn't a free-for-all in the Old Testament, right, which sometimes, again, I think we view that. God was just speaking to everybody, do whatever you want, woo. There was actually very stringent rules about what the prophets could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And then the Israelites were told, don't practice divination. Don't try and seek omens and signs. Don't do that kind of stuff, right? So it's important to actually read the Old Testament with that kind of lens, right? And not just assume, mm-hmm. you know, oh yeah, everyone was hearing God's audible voice, because I don't think they were.
So quick question before we move on to what it looks like in the New Testament, yeah. and with the New Covenant. Do you think that God spoke to the prophets with an audible voice then? Or do you think that he spoke to them with, how should I say it, conviction similar to what we do or have today?
That's hard to tell.
Or do you think there's a mixture of both?
Yeah, probably. Because I even think I was going to bring up 1 Kings, I believe it's 19, where God speaks to Elijah, right? In the still, small whisper or whatever, right? And so if you know that story, Elijah's on the mountain and there's wind and there's an earthquake and a fire. And then it says, and after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And it says, Elijah heard it and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So there's an instance where it sounds like it was actually an audible whisper, a low voice that Elijah heard. But again, you need to ask, like, is that prescriptive or descriptive? Because I've heard sermons where it's like, you know, that's why you have to go to your prayer closet and just listen. God,
war room
or whatever. Yeah, God speaks in a whisper, and it's like, well, he did. That doesn't mean he always will, right? Sure. But that's in that case. God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. So you go, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you gotta get real quiet and then God will hear you. And I don't think it's prescribing what we have to do. It's just describing what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's an instance where it sounds like Elijah heard an actual voice, a whisper. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think there's other cases that maybe God impressed upon the prophets his thoughts and his words, and they were obedient to say them. I don't know if we're told one way or the other, probably both, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So then in the New Testament, so if God speaks primarily through his prophets in the Old Testament, what has changed? Does God still speak through prophets today? You know, is it different now? Are we told in the New Testament how God speaks to us?
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
And yeah, without jumping back on the whole podcast before, because we unhashed that pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus came as a fulfillment of the law, the new covenant. He gave a prescriptive way forward in mm-hmm. how to hear from God and how to connect with God. And then he obviously, through his ascension, sent the Holy Spirit as that connection point. And so I think you referenced before, like, there's no need for prophets. We're given mm-hmm. this incredible text. We're given very prescriptive and descriptive instructions on how to do life. And mm-hmm. then we're given this great counselor to have that. So you should be leery when someone's like, you know, here's a prophet I heard from the Lord. Well, we've all heard from the Lord now. Like we have that connection. We have that. But again, it points us back to Scripture. There's no new revelations mm-hmm. that are to be yet downloaded, because we don't need them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I think a really good piece of Scripture to use as a transitional piece here to kind of show what we're talking about is in Hebrews 1 verse 1 and the verses following that is, and it says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. And then the author of Hebrews goes on and like essentially just lists reasons why we can actually trust that Jesus is who he is and that he is God, in a really beautiful way. But I think that this passage really well sums up that, you know, God used to speak to us through prophets and stuff, but now because of Jesus, mm-hmm. we don't need them anymore in mm-hmm. the same way.
Yeah. And I love that how that's worded. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. I love that. Isn't it? It doesn't say God spoke to our fathers audibly.
Right.
He spoke to them through the prophets. And then, yeah, in these last days, he has spoken to us. So it's past tense. Not he continues to speak to us audibly. It's just he has spoken through his son.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think there was this massive transition point, right, when Jesus came. And that's why, you know, Jesus is God in the flesh. And so when he walked around and he spoke, and that's why we have the recorded teachings, and that's why we seek to obey them. Those are the words of God. That's mm-hmm. Jesus, right? And then Jesus ascends into heaven, and he leaves the Holy Spirit, right? And he says the Holy Spirit is going to help you, guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will remind you what I've taught you, he says to his disciples. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus actually gives authority to his apostles to write scripture, to literally write the words of God, similar to how the prophets did yeah. in the Old Testament. He didn't give that authority to everybody. He gave that authority to his apostles. And so then that's how we got the New Testament. Mm-hmm. These men would write or transcribe, and their assistant would write down, mm-hmm. but it was viewed as, okay, this is not just, you know, Peter writing yeah. a nice letter. This is the words of God, right? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And now that's closed, right? I think it's about 300 or 400 AD. Mm-hmm. The church compiled what they believed were kind of the finished, these are the books of the Bible, and it's closed now. We don't add new things. And then there's a few spots where, you know, 1 Timothy talks about scripture being God breathed, literally like breathed out by God, spoken by God. And it's useful. And then he says, here's all the things that the word of God is useful for. And it's pretty much everything. There's not a whole lot where it's, you know, oh, it's good for some things, but you also have to like listen for the still small voice. No, it's like all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, right? Not half complete. It's yeah. the scripture is able to make someone complete and equipped for every good work. And then even Hebrews 4, the word of God is living. So that would mean that the Holy Spirit speaks through the word of God and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we have the word of God, and I would say that is the primary way that God speaks to us, mm-hmm. like 98% of the time, if you want to put a number on it, right? I think the word of God, when you read it, and again, we have to think about that. Anytime you open the Bible and read it, that's God speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Not sometimes when the mood is right and I sure. lit a candle and blah, 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 and now I can hear God's voice. Anytime you read the word of God, these words are breathed out by God. And so I heard one guy saying, if you want to hear God's audible voice, just read the words out loud. There you go. Sure. You heard God's audible voice, sure. which he was being kind of cheeky.
Yeah,
but I think we have this view that, yeah, the Bible's good, right? Oh, but sometimes I don't get stuff.
I just want more.
Well, yeah, or I don't get stuff out of it, or blah, blah, blah. But I think you're approaching the Bible thinking like, yeah, it's a book. It's good. It helps me know who God is. And you're not realizing that the Bible tells us that it itself is the very words of God, not just good ideas about God or some guy's thoughts about God. They are literally breathed out, like the Holy Spirit inspired these words. So if you sit down to read your Bible and you view it that way, not just like, right? And it's like, okay, God, you're going to speak to me today. God, help me to actually listen.
So I don't know if this is a point that we need to clarify quickly before we move on. But is, like, I just want to make sure that we're clear on this. Is the Bible itself speaking to you then, or is it the Holy Spirit working through what's written to speak to you or speak into your life?
That's a good question.
Because personally, I would say it's the Holy Spirit working through what's written there. Yes, those are God's words, but the Bible, I mean, it's I don't know of any space that it's taught that the Bible is like a little tabernacle where God lives, and specifically, I don't know. Like,
I think it's like if you're reading the Sermon on the Mount, for example, and there's like literal instructions. Mm-hmm. If you're having trouble walking through the way we're commanded to live, then I think we call on the Holy Spirit and we use that as like a, you know, that coach, that motivator, that encourager to say like you can actually live this life of sanctification and holiness, but we'll need the Holy Spirit to do that. But I think where people get caught up is like, well, I can just read that, but I need to feel something magical in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can kind of spin our wheels for a while there, because I do think that when you open the Bible and you read it, and it's different because you can read the Old Testament and see this, the family line of kings. It's like, well, you're not going to, that's really great historical information. You may not feel propelled to then go and, you know, adopt a baby or something.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But, and so does the Spirit move then, or is it still the words of God and it presents this history? There's both, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I think the danger when we're like, there's danger on both sides, right? We don't worship the Bible. It was written by men and God kind of in partnership. But then I think if you go too far the other way where you're like, yeah, the Bible's,
it's just a book.
Yeah. And then God, like the Holy Spirit, because then what you're doing then is, I'll get something out of it if the Holy Spirit like speaks to me. Right through it, which I think anytime you open the Bible, like the Holy Spirit will speak through it, and it might be different. You might not like, you read the genealogy in Matthew 1, you might not be like, whoa, life changing. But if you still approach it and going, these are the inspired words of God, there's no part of the Bible that you go, are you sure that's inspired?
Like, yeah.
And he begat him, and he begat him. And you're still looking at the grand story of redemption and why those genealogies matter, right? You might not read Matthew 1 and, like you said, then go and be cut to the heart and adopt a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you would still read Matthew 1 and go, man, look at how God works through people who are broken to bring about Jesus into the world. And your mind is still, you know, transformed and shaped because you're understanding the gospel more.
And that's why I think it's dangerous right now if you're leading a Bible study or you're pastoring a church to actually parachute in on a chapter verse. And then so you present that at the beginning of your talk, and then you go on for the next 30 minutes talking about your own thoughts or ideas of what that means. Like, that's actually, I think that's an awful way to present the gospel, because you're actually just putting words in God's mouth. And, you know, you spend most of your sermon time on application rather than here's what was happening. Here's what the Israelites would have been hearing. Here's what, you know, how the Gentiles were being impacted by this new gospel. Like, and that's one of your style. It's like you spend time unpacking that. And at the end, it's like, well, that's the miracle of the Bible. It is relevant for today.
Yeah.
But it wasn't written for today by the people writing it. And that's kind of the miracle of the Bible also.
Yeah. They weren't thinking about you when they wrote it.
They weren't. And that's the funny part. And that's what makes the Bible human in a way and God inspired.
Totally.
In a way, because you think of these writers, and we've talked about this before, but their hands were not, taken like by an angel that grabbed their hands and wrote the scroll. No, their hearts, they were in tune with the Spirit. they put themselves in that position to be servants.
Yeah.
To be humble and to listen and then to be compelled, knowing that the very words they wrote could have them killed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weight of that is incredible to think.
Yeah. Yeah. So Paul gets a report of this mess of a church in Corinth. And he writes a letter back because he's literally dealing with, these people. He wasn't thinking like, for 2,000 years, people will, I really don't think so. He was going, I got to tell these people to knock it off. So he writes all of these instructions for the church. And yet 2,000 years later, we read it and we're edified and encouraged and blessed by these words.
Challenged, convicted.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But Paul wasn't thinking of us.
North Peace MB.
No. And that's okay. Yeah. That's not scandalous. The Bible didn't fall out of the sky like on gold. Anytime that someone says, I received, these tablets came out of the sky, is usually a cult, right? Sure. It's Mormonism. It's Jehovah's Witnesses. That's how they got their, quote, Bible. It floated out from heaven. And wow. And Joseph Smith, I found gold tablets. And and it's always like, rant, 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 red alert. Like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And so, and yet God, that's the miracle of the Bible, that 2,000 years later, we read it and we've probably all had instances where you read a passage and you are like cut to the heart.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit convicts you or encourages you or something like that. And that's the miracle of the Bible. And that's God speaking to us, right? So then you were going to say something.
No, go ahead.
Should we then expect or learn how to hear God's voice in other ways? Because here's what I'm getting at, is lots of times many Christians say, yeah, the Bible is really great. And I know I'm going to get in trouble again because everyone's like, why are you talking about Bethel? But I've literally heard these words out of Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin's voice. The Bible is great, but we got to get beyond the Bible. Literally heard that phrase, not taken out of context. Like everyone says, you're just quoting them out of context. But it was, God's not boxed in by this Bible. The Bible is great, but we got to get beyond it.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, here's how to, and we use all of those catchphrases, tune in to God's voice. Here's how to audibly hear God. Here's practices that you can do so you can kind of like make sure that you're hearing God's audible voice. Should we be doing that or not, right? Like,
right.
And why not, I guess, if the answer is no, we shouldn't.
I think it's all just culture catchphrase for like listening prayer and actually trying to shut out the noise.
Yep.
But I think the motivation has to be a little different where, you're trying to hear God's voice, but actually if you just, and I'm challenged myself because I have so much noise in my life, but we read like if you actually just, prayer closet, still quiet place, all of these things, they're all just pointing to like just turn down the noise so that you can give yourself time to just meditate in God's word. And so it doesn't have to be there's not a special formula.
No.
It's maybe just put yourself in a space where you can focus.
Yeah.
For anyone that's in school, sometimes that is a Starbucks with headphones on.
Sure.
It's funny enough, but I'll listen to music in a Starbucks before they were all closed. And I'll write a paper because I'm able to focus there. So maybe that's where I go. Maybe that's where I hear from God. It's going to be different for everyone. There's not a prescriptive way. But I think what is prescriptive is just be still. Mm-hmm. Just put yourself in a position where you can focus. But then it's not a cross your legs and hum and wait for God to talk to you.
Yeah.
Read the Bible.
Yeah. Like,
hear from God in that moment. And then again, I'm speaking to myself, but then like walk out what you do. Cause what we hear is like, I'm just waiting on the Lord to tell me what to do. It's like, well, are you doing the things? Like, are you, is your life full of living the way we're instructed?
Mm-hmm.
Because God's not going to tell you not to go to Bible school or not to go on a mission trip.
Like, sure.
You know, I'm waiting for God to tell me if it's the right time to go on a mission trip. It's like, well, it's always the right time. Like it's not, we're making it weird.
Yeah.
Or come to church on Sunday night at 7 o'clock and I'm going to tell you how to hear from God and we're going to light some candles. And,
yeah. That's where I struggle. Cause usually then it's like, you know, and for $14.99, you could buy my book. Cause I cracked the code on how to hear God's voice when it's just kind of like, and I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but by and large, that's what I hear. Like, hey, did you know that you can audibly hear God's voice? And for $12.99, I wrote a book about how I figured out how to do it, and then you can buy my book and learn how to do it. And again, I'm speaking in generalities. I realize not everyone is like that. But what worries me is that lots of Christians have their Bibles closed, dusty on their shelves, going, man, I just wish God would speak to me.
Right.
And it's like, open your Bible. He will. Like, you don't have to, like you said, cross your legs just right. Or like, you know, that has more in common with New Age stuff.
Yeah,
than
God's not at all interested in our little spiritual rain dance we do to try and hear from him than he is from actually us spending time with him.
Yeah, rain dance is offensive because Cameron's part Native. Sorry, this is not a politically correct. But you're right, right? Or because then the temptation is, well, I didn't hear anything. Shoot, I must not have. I got to go back and read the steps. And it's like, well,
it really frustrates me that people prostitute God's word like that by like selling the fact that they could get better at hearing God. And that's just like, it's not right to do that, to sell God's word or sell those times. Cause it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And I don't think not everyone's motivation is that. Some people really want to help you be able to decipher. I get that. Their motivation is probably great. But it's whether you call it misguided or like I don't think that, you know, just sit in a room and empty your mind and whatever comes into my that's God speaking to you. Well, you should probably open the word. Don't empty your mind. Fill your mind with God's words.
Yeah.
And then I think there are instances where God, like the Holy Spirit, impresses something on you, or there's a thought we've all shared, stuff that we go, that can't be from me because I would never say something like that, right? And then you weigh it with what the word says, right? So, you know, I've and this is not a joke, I've heard people, God spoke to me and told me to divorce my spouse. And I go, pretty sure God wouldn't say that to you, right? Because you go into the scriptures and God would say, don't do that. So anytime I have an impression, you know, from the Holy Spirit, or I think, you know, God is, go to the word and, you know, if God's telling you, go buy lottery tickets and I'll make you rich. I'm not sure that that's actually God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're actually told to like be wise and have discernment and test things with the word of God. Not just learn whatever comes into mind, that's obviously God, and just run with it.
I don't think there should be any Christian meetings where it's a here's how or how to, because like at all, unless, because it could all be, every single one of them could be summed up under one umbrella of walk humbly, practice service, you know, ensure that you're living the Bible, be wise, you know, you think of all of the money, how to this and that. It's like, I don't want to see a book or go to a seminar where it's not like, okay, it's important that you say no to your flesh. It's important that you save properly. It's important that you don't live beyond your means and the Lord will bless that wise living. Or healing schools, you know, here's how, or how to tune in. It's like, no, like, I feel like they can all be undergirded with like, be humble, live a life of service, be wise, consult elders, and now you've just learned how to hear from God, how to heal, how to, you know, get rich.
But I'm in a 4-year program.
I think that's something that's important when we talk about hearing.
I already got my Eventbrite for Saturday.
I think it's important when we talk about hearing God's voice or listening to God or however you want to word that, that we actually look at the purpose of why God spoke to his people in the first place throughout scripture and to now. And I would say that it's fair to say that God has always spoken to his people, whether it was through his prophets or through Jesus, to turn people back to him, to turn their hearts back to him, whether it was a prophet's calling out sin and disgusting stuff to try and turn people back to God, or whether it was Jesus, you know, teaching that he's the way, the truth, and the life, right? Like it was always to turn humanity back to God, back to the original purpose that we saw when God created the garden. So if you have a word from God that you have to buy a Ferrari, I would say check it, because chances are that's not, like, could God further the kingdom by you getting richer? Sure. I'm not going to say no to that, because God works in mysterious ways. But at the same time, I think that if all you're ever hearing supposedly from God is how you can get better or how you can be greater here on this earth, you're sadly mistaken, because it's not about what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Even while you were speaking, it reminds me, even in Jeremiah 6, God condemns false prophets who just walk around going, peace, peace, nothing's wrong, don't worry about it. And he says, don't listen to those people. Because primarily, the major theme that the prophets would speak is repentance. Like, turn back to God. You're not on the right path.
Yeah, something, like, is wrong.
Turn to him. Mixed in with, yes, and God has a fierce love for you.
Yeah.
But never just like, oh yeah, peace, don't worry about anything. It was always repent, right? So as by way of application then, I want to encourage you, because I know Christians who watch and read and listen to some of these things where, you know, you should be daily hearing an audible voice from God. You are not less of a Christian if you've, what? I've never heard God's audible voice. I've been a Christian for 20 years and I've never once heard God's audible voice. And I don't think that makes you less of a believer, or you're missing out, or you haven't tapped in. Because if you are in God's word and you are asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word and you obey God's word, you are hearing God's voice daily, right? If you do things like that. So I would say don't, you can buy books and all those kind of things, whatever, but don't fall for the idea that you're somehow lacking. And if you buy so-and-so's book, he'll teach you how to be like a next level Christian.
Yeah.
Read the word, obey what Jesus says, and have a heart that is, like Cam said, humble, and that is willing to, you know, when the Holy Spirit impresses something on you, to obey and to weigh that against what the Bible says. That's what being a Christian means, I think. So hopefully that was helpful or encouraging to you. I know there's a lot of confusion and a lot of different thoughts about that, but yeah, complaints can be sent to cameron.eggie@gmail.com or
whatever. Absolutely.
Yeah. Really though, I hope that is helpful and just encouraging to spend time in God's word and to believe that the Holy Spirit's actually going to speak to you through the word of God. And, we'll leave it at that. And hopefully in the next, after this lockdown is done, we can be back to video again. But for now, we'll just do the Lockdown Podcast. That's a great name, by the way. And make sure you subscribe in iTunes or Spotify or Google. And I forgot to tell you guys, we are over 100 subscribers. Ooh. On YouTube. I think we're at 101.
Wow.
So blowing up. We'll get our plaque in the mail soon, I think. And anyways, hopefully.
Speaking of humble.
Yeah, speaking of. Shoot. God told me to say that. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys next week.